Hi everyone, I'm John Offord. I'm a broadcaster based in the UK, and welcome to Different Minds, a podcast series that looks at neurodiversity, the different ways our brains can work and interpret information. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Aspire Autism Consultancy, the leading providers of autism and ADHD training, educating and enabling families, therapists, and healthcare professionals to gain knowledge and understanding of neurodiversity. The courses are written by two specialist psychotherapists and include the voices and lived experiences of neurodivergent individuals. For further details, go to www.aspireautismconsultancy.co.uk. I'm delighted to be joined by autistic YouTuber Dan Jones. Dan has Asperger's syndrome, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and dyslexia. Dan's an avid YouTuber, influencer, public speaker, and author. Dan, known as the Aspie World by his followers, creates and shares content for his 100,000 plus YouTube subscribers, and videos cover a range of tips and tricks for living with an autism diagnosis. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. So Dan, obviously we're living in extraordinary times at the minute. How has the pandemic impacted your life at the minute?
You know, so the pandemic has distorted a lot of things that you would take for granted, but that will impact your ability to run a successful routine. And obviously being on the spectrum, having a routine that I like and I'm comfortable with is paramount to my success for a happy, healthy day. But more recently, it's more of a, my mental health is taking a huge dip because I get these panic moments where I'm like, nothing's ever going to be the same. And then I start freaking out, like I can't see a way out. And then, you know, I think that this is it now forever and I'm locked in my house. And like, you know, it's a serious thing. And that kind of definitely weighs down on mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, I just wanted to talk about your own kind of personal journey, really. And I wonder if you could tell us a bit about when you were diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome.
Well, basically, ever since I was a kid, my parents obviously had issues trying, you know, with my learning difficulties and my additional needs because, you know, in primary school and stuff, I had extreme social anxiety. I couldn't gel with kids, had lone play, and all this kind of stuff. My parents were really concerned, but you got to think it was back in the late 80s. And then it's kind of like nobody in the late 80s could diagnose autism where I live in Wales. So I'm living right up on Anglesey, which is kind of quite rural. It was quite rural back then anyway. And in terms of the later diagnosis, so when I got to like kind of secondary school, I got a diagnosis of dyslexia, but I'd also been having like one-to-ones and special kind of additional support in primary school as best that the teachers could do. You know, I was allowed to stay indoors at break time. I was allowed to play with computers instead, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it was quite difficult. It was quite a struggle, actually, to be honest with you, until I got to the age of 26. Oh my goodness. And, you know, finding it difficult to hold down jobs because of my mental health and obviously my neurological condition that I wasn't aware of. Basically I had a very large meltdown in the office I was working at, and then that meltdown then led to me taking some time out of that work, and then I had to have some counseling, and then this also led on to then a diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome, and then they also discovered like ADHD and OCD because it was just part and parcel of the entire thing, really.
So once you had your autism diagnosis, how did that make you feel? Did everything sort of make sense? Was it a I imagine it was a confusing time.
I think it was all right. I didn't know anything about autism. The closest thing I got to understanding autism was I'd seen the movie Rain Man. I mean, it's so kind of like ignorant of me to even think that was anything to do directly with autism spectrum as a spectrum. So I was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. So it was kind of like it was one of those things where you go, oh, okay, I'm not completely nuts, because up until that point, you know, you have these issues you know, ups and downs, and you have all of these things going on, and you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm a, you know, mid-20s man, and I'm finding it difficult to operate in reality, and why is this, what's going on, you know? And then you start questioning your everything. But in terms of actually finding out it's autism, you go, oh okay, that, well that makes sense, that it's something. But then the most interesting thing was that it wasn't, I didn't know anything about what it actually was. So I think that was such an interesting journey, and that's kind of what led to the creation of what I do today as my job.
And looking back, could you see how having Asperger's syndrome has impacted on your life in terms of your job, in terms of relationships, that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, I mean, like 100% impacts every single, you know, square inch of my life. I think it is who I am, and it makes me who I am. You know, my hyperactivity, my hyperfocus, my dedication, determination to absorb and learn information and things, you know. But in terms of like relationships, it's how I related to my friends, my peers, ex-girlfriends, you know, it's all of that kind of coming together, and then you realizing that how things may have been vastly different if you had this knowledge prior to this, you know.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. So did you so tell us about your YouTube journey then. So clearly after your diagnosis, you kind of went on a mission to kind of educate yourself and others about your kind of autism journey. And yeah, you are now you know, a growing autistic YouTuber. Just tell us a bit about how all that started.
I mean, it's a bit of a crazy ride. It's very difficult to kind of really squash down, but I'll try and do it in a nutshell. I mean, you know, so I uploaded a video onto YouTube simply because when I was diagnosed, like I said, I didn't know anything about autism. So I decided that I would type in Asperger syndrome into YouTube and see what came up, you know. And what did come up was very little information. And the information that was there was very either A, academic and square, or B, it was just like people really depressingly talking about how miserable they are because they have this autism spectrum condition. And I was like, oh my goodness, I felt terrible after watching it. I thought, oh my God. So then I thought, well, what if, because I'm a performer, you know, I'm a musician, I'm a multi-musician, and I've played music all my life. And I performed music. I've got like, I'm signed to a couple of record labels. I've got a record out in Japan and America. And I thought, well, why don't I fuse my performance-based persona with educating people about my life? Because I've done 26 years not even knowing, so I must have some value to give, right? And so by doing that, what happened is I put a video out, and then all of a sudden people started subscribing to a channel, and I knew nothing about the workings of YouTube or how all this kind of played out. And then people just requested more videos. So I decided to put more videos out. And then it really spiraled from there. It wasn't like I didn't really sit down and think, right, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a YouTuber. It was never like that. But it got to a pinnacle point where I just finished my degree in chemistry, and I'd literally just finished the exam. And the day I finished the exam, I went down to London to YouTube, the YouTube HQ, and I stayed there with them for a week doing an intense boot camp because I won this kind of YouTube award called Next Up. And YouTube basically give you like $2,000, and then they train you intensely on how YouTube works, the ins and outs. You get to work and network. And it kind of like what they're trying to do is really supercharge you to go forward, because what they do is they pick the most inspiring channels in the UK from 10 to 100,000 subscribers. And then they say, hey, you guys are like the best of the best. We're going to really like ham you up and make you awesome. And so that was kind of cool. That was the turning point for me. I was like, okay, maybe we should take it seriously and do it, you know, professionally. And so and the rest is history, as you say.
So Dan, so I understand you were on a book tour last year. So can you tell us a bit about your book?
Sure. So I've got a book out. It's quite an interesting, bizarre book, actually. It's called Become the Force, and it's about Star Wars philosophy. And that sounds a bit bizarre, but I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I always have been. It was one of my early obsessions with people. You know, people on the spectrum have obsessional interests, and one of my early obsessions was Star Wars, and I just found it so inspirational. But also, I'm quite an intellect in terms of I love thinking about like the nature of life, which is one of the reasons why I did a degree in chemistry and all this kind of stuff. You know, so I decided that I would write this book on philosophy, which I kind of say, if the best way to understand it is that it's Buddhism for the layman, basically. And so I wrote this book on philosophy, but it's kind of half and half. It's half about my life growing up with Asperger syndrome and how Star Wars helped me therapeutically.
That sounds good. Good for you. We'll look forward to following that with interest. How do you think our understanding of autism is coming on as a society in general?
I think, you know, we're moving away from the idea that, oh, only children have autism, right? You can grow out of it. Or, hey, I've never heard of that. So where we had a period of autism awareness, making awareness so people knew the term autism, because it sounds, it used to be quite a medical term that people didn't know. But now everybody is kind of familiar with autism. You know, you look in the UK, you've got 1 in 100 people in the United Kingdom diagnosed with autism, and then you've got 1 in 40 people that are impacted by autism. You know, it could be your friend, loved one, a brother, a sister, whatever. And so everyone's aware of it. But what we're doing now is we're moving into that understanding phase, so the understanding of autism. And so the understanding phase is really getting to know that, hey, you know, autism characteristics are different in females to males. You know, there's this thing called masking, and Asperger's syndrome is part of autism, and it's a spectrum. You know, you just because you're verbal and have a large vocabulary and a good lexicon doesn't mean that you're not autistic. And so I think having channels come out like mine and everybody else, like Chris Packham, everybody who's doing something, you know, even Susan Boyle, to an effect, just to say, hey, this is who I am, rather than the typical Temple Grandin, like, oh, read my book and come to one of my seminars. I mean, like, Temple Grandin's awesome, but there's only so much she says that is novel, you know. And so I think that the more people kind of advocating, like we're seeing right now, which is excellent, the deeper the understanding goes in terms of actually people getting to grips with, oh, there is a difference between somebody who has this type of support need or that type of support need.
Yeah. And what about kind of media representation of autism? I interviewed Christopher Eccleston the other week, who starred in The A Word, an autism drama on BBC One, and yeah, obviously he was saying that, you know, you wouldn't be getting that on BBC One even 10 years ago, where one of the central characters had autism.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I do a lot of work on this kind of stuff. I work directly with a company called the Ruderman Foundation from Israel/America. And they flew me out to Boston to work in MIT for like 10 days or whatever it was, on a disability summit. And what they kind of focus on is the representation in the media. Like, do disabled actors have access to the equal opportunities for acting roles? You know, where you may have somebody who isn't autistic playing an autistic character, but could that role be played by someone who is autistic? And that kind of stuff, you know? And so one of the things I've done is I've worked with Netflix on Atypical, which is a show about a young guy who has autism, and so in season one, I didn't consult with them on season one. I consulted with them for season two and three, which was lucky, because the season one was just kind of, they threw every, you know, typical trait in the book at this young lad, and then he came out as ticking all these typical boxes, you know, like a very stereotypical autistic person. But when I consulted with him after reviewing it before it came out, unfortunately they didn't have time to kind of edit any of this stuff before it came out. But for season two, they kind of laid off it. It wasn't as thick, you know, so some things would spike through. So I think that with things like the A Word, and, you know, with things like Atypical, and you know, there's other like different movies and stuff coming out. I think there's like Loop and stuff on Disney. What you're doing is you're seeing more and more genuine representations of autism dripping out. What I'd like to see, though, I'd like to see more female representation of autism, and also I'd like to see more kind of, I think this is an example, Power Rangers movie did it really, really well, where Billy, the Blue Ranger, he is on the spectrum. He's a nice looking young man of color. I love that, you know, because it gave a really good representation. It wasn't just a typical kind of, like, you know, nerdy white guy, you know what I mean? It was like this idea that, you know, it impacts anybody. And in that, I love that Billy says, you know, they're just doing something. He says, sorry, man, you know, I need some time. I'm on the spectrum. And they're like, oh, and that's all they say about it, you know, and they just acknowledge it. So his quirks and differences kind of are given a very nice kind of representation in major films, and showing that, hey, you know, you could be a superhero, save as the world, you know, by being a Power Ranger and still have autism. So I think we're moving towards, you know, a more kind of, like you said, you know, 10 years ago, that wouldn't even have happened. You know, BBC wouldn't have had a main character. But I think we're still a million miles away from where it needs to be.
So you mentioned neurodiversity earlier, Dan, and obviously that's a viewpoint that brain differences are normal rather than deficits. Because some people say that, you know, the neurodiversity movement is kind of dividing the autistic community rather than bringing them together. What would you say to that?
I mean, you know, it's funny because it's a terminology. You know, you have this idea that, you know, neurodiversity or neurodivergent brain patterns, which is obviously in neurological developmental conditions like autism, ADHD, you know, those kind of brain patterns are, that's what it is. You know, it's a neurodivergent, like it's not a hashtag for a movement. You know, it's pretty much a standard term of what it is, because then you have neurotypical, which is people who are non-autistic. And so that is plain and simple, black and white is what it is. But what I hear what you're saying, there is a divide within the community. There's people who object everything. You know, they're against the National Autistic Society because they say that they need more autistic people on the board of directors or whatever. And then they where's the money going and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, you start questioning things like that. You need to question every charity in the world. You know, they're doing the best they can. And yes, not everything's perfect, because perfect is an unattainable achievement. You can't do that. So it's an ongoing process of how do we move things for the better. Now, I'm in the middle with all this stuff. I don't agree with any one camp. I'm not against or for anybody. I'm kind of with everybody. I think that there's a place for everyone. And I think that we just need to get along rather than try and divide. But there is a huge, I've felt the backlash, because obviously being quite a popular person online and being the, you know, the biggest autistic YouTube channel in the world, I'm met with this kind of criticism all the time that, you know, I shouldn't raise money for the National Autistic Society, and do you know this and this, that, and the other. And do you know what? It's a very small minority group of people who are just making a noise because they're A, undiagnosed and they're upset about it, or B, they are suffering with something else in their life and they're taking it out through the community that the only community they know.
What would you say to people that say, you know, there are a lot of, you know, autistic advocates, I guess like yourself, that are very obviously articulate, whereas you have people on the other side of the autistic spectrum that have impairment problems and are unable to communicate, and therefore they say, how can we identify with autistic advocates such as yourself when we're completely the other end of the spectrum?
That's a good question. And, you know, it works internally as well. A lot of autistic people suffer from imposter syndrome, where they think, you know, am I autistic enough? You know, like a friend of mine, Asa in Florida, he, another YouTuber, you know, his daughter, Abby, she's a nonverbal autistic girl. And so she has issues, you know, going to the bathroom on her own and getting changed, and she can't talk and things. And then you say, well, how could she have a diagnosis nomenclature the same as mine when I can do those things, you know? And the real specifics is that she has issues in certain areas, and I also have issues in certain areas. It's caused by the same neurological difference in us to neurotypical people, the fact that the neurological paths in our brains fuse together differently when we were, you know, being conceived and stuff. But in terms of our abilities, they will vary, because that's why the term spectrum comes into it. It is a spectrum. It's cast across different spectrums. You know, they used to have terms like classic autism, low functioning, high functioning, Asperger syndrome, and it was so separative. Like they just got rid of that, because you end up, I don't know, you alienate a certain portion of the community. So when you say just autism, then people go, okay, so what type, you know, like not what type of autism, but what kind of things do you have issues with? What issues does it present in you? And I think that, again, this leads back to one of your other questions about how the understanding going. Well, this is the understanding, because people always thought autism would be this thing where you'd be nonverbal, non-communicative, and you basically wouldn't communicate with anybody. But it's quite on the contrary. But again, it's a spectrum. You know, not everybody has the same issues. And I'm sure, you know, Chris Peckham's probably a lot more you know, better in things than I am, and vice versa, you know. So I think it's just learning that it is a spectrum, and the things that do impact your life is because of autism.
Yeah. Is everyone a little bit autistic, Dan?
Absolutely not. I literally just edited a video down today where it was like breaking the myths of autism. And myth number five was, people say, oh, everyone's a little bit autistic, you're just on the spectrum somewhere. This is completely irrelevant. No, of course not. Because then you wouldn't have the term neurotypical. Brain patterns wouldn't function in a neurotypical format. You know, you have terms like neurodivergent, neurological disorder, autism and neurological disorder. Not everybody has a neurological disorder. This is why we have a difference in that. Also, you can check brain patterns. You know, like autistic people's brain patterns fire in different ways to people who are non-autistic, which is absolutely fascinating. I think Temple Grandin did a actual scan of her brain to show colored patterns of how her brain works compared to a neurotypical person, and things like creativity and mathematics fire differently in autistic people than they do non-autistic people. Again, so that there's no, not everybody's a little bit autistic, and anybody who says that has no understanding of the subject.
I'm going to ask you a question which I ask all my guests on the Different Mind podcast series. What advice would you give your younger self, Dan, if you had the opportunity?
Oh, goodness. If I had the opportunity to talk to my younger self, which would be bizarre because I'd have matter versus antimatter, so we'd probably implode. I would tell myself to relax and that I'm not crazy, because I spent a lot of time stressing out when I was younger, feeling like I was super different to other people because there was something wrong with me. So I'd love to go up and tell myself, like, hey, relax, dude, there's nothing wrong with you. You should use it as an empowerment. You should use it, that difference, as a way to feel empowered and go forward with the things that you're good at, because I spent a lot of time doubting myself, and that self-doubt kind of ate me up a little bit.
And a final question for anyone listening today that's a little bit, maybe they're a little bit confused, and maybe they can identify with a lot of what you've said today. Maybe they have a few autistic traits themselves, but they're not quite sure what do. What would you say to them, Dan?
You know, this is exactly what I do on my channel. So I've put out loads of videos trying to identify, you know, do you think you're autistic? Do you relate to what I'm saying? And if so, the best thing to do is to follow some of the processes to checking online. You can do an online AQ quiz, which is basically an autism quotient quiz that will kind of show you if your personality aligns with autism, and it kind of could potentially highlight variants there. But the best thing to do, I guess, would be watch some videos on it. I mean, there's not just my videos, there's a bunch of different people putting videos out. But if you do, just go to YouTube and type in the ASPIE world, ASPIE world, and you'll see a bunch of videos on me describing autism in varying different ways, and just pick one that relates to you and maybe it'll align with you. But if not, if you're still stuck, you can always email me and ask me questions, or like follow me on Twitter or Instagram and DM me, because I literally reach out to every single person who wants to ask me a question, because it's important that I do that. Again, it's just at the ASPIE world, so TheAspieWorld. So yeah, I think that's the best thing to do. Go and check it out, and if you still have issues, contact me and we'll talk.
Dan, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you so much for your time. Keep up the good work. And I really like what you're saying, essentially, that, you know, I guess we all need to understand our differences better. And obviously, that way we achieve more and add more substance to the day-to-day life of the society. So, yeah, really interesting to hear what the fascinating work that you do. And, yeah, keep in touch.
Thank you. Thanks so much.